in Toledo in September, Labor Day weekend.
And yeah.
I'd like to get the 50 miles in within a 24-hour period.
Awesome.
That's the race that's coming up.
Well, here we go. So yeah, hello everybody. This is Leo Kormanik with the Mind Body Marathon. And on today's show is George Ehrenholt. And George, I've known you for what, since probably 2004, maybe something like that, 2005?
At least.
Yeah, so yeah. About 20 years now. And George is 76.
Correct.
Yep. And as you just heard, he's preparing for Labor Day week, Labor Day race of trying to get up to 50 miles. So he's obviously still running well into his 70s, which is quite a feat. So when did you start running?
You know, I was actually ran in the 70s, but not intelligently. I mean, I would decide to go out for a run and I'd have a smoke a cigarette before I went out on the run, finish up the run, and then fire up a cigarette right away. So
I'm sure a lot of people did that.
I've always had good endurance, but I never really trained properly for anything. And I had a couple buddies that they would, when we would talk, I would see them, well, what'd you do this weekend? Well, Marshall and I went out and we did an 18-mile run. I was always amazed and almost enthralled by how somebody could go out and do that.
Yeah.
And so I think I always wanted to run a marathon, but you know, you get this mindset, well, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you start thinking, well, why not? Why couldn't you? You don't know that you can.
Yeah.
And so one thing led to another. I eventually, did some 10Ks and then some half marathons and a marathon. And
When was your first marathon?
It was in 2000.
Dang.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah. Because that is true. Like, so many people will just be like, oh, I'm not a runner. You know, that's just what other people do. And
sure.
But one day you wake up and you realize, like, wait a minute. Like, this is available to anybody. It's just a mindset. Yeah. You know, one day you just realize, like, I'm going to actually just do it now. And now I can call myself a marathoner.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I realized once I finished that, my first one, I realized I was definitely undertrained.
What was your first one?
It was the Congo Valley, Towpath.
Yeah.
And it was pretty flat, but I wasn't used to going out, you know, more than 10 miles at a time, let alone 26.2. But you learn a lot. But, you know, there was always this, well, you can do better.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's what I've tried to do, just continue. And as I get older, I realize the importance of you retrain yourself differently. You don't have the same goals that you had years ago. And now I realize the value for me and anybody as you get older is movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you have a range of motion? Do you have the flexibility? And certainly do you have the strength?
Yeah, because you were even talking about this. We were chatting in another conversation about you do your urban detoxes.
Yes.
So, and on your last urban detox, and you can explain that here in a minute, you were doing martial arts on the beach, right?
Yes. And I think I overdid it. Because I would pick up rocks, boulders, maybe, you know, 20 pounds, whatever. And, you know, and I would do certain movements with them or get into the horse stance and try to hold it for, you know, 2 to 3 minutes. And I think I probably overdid it. But
yeah.
But my urban detox is, that's where I just go away. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not running from anything, but I just kind of need to reset. And so I'll go somewhere. It usually is involved around a trail race.
Yeah.
And someplace that I've never been, and I try to put myself in situations that are not routine to me. Like I may tent camp in this city till I get to this one, and I may have an Airbnb here and maybe spend a few days in a trailer over here. So working out the logistics is a lot of fun, but I find that when I come back from these, I'm better for the people in my life.
Yeah.
Because I've reset, I've regrouped, I prioritize what's really important, and spend a lot of time thinking about what's really important in my life.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I think is important from that I've learned from you, you know, because I've known you for years and I consider you sort of a mentor, is that, you know, you can really only be available for people so much as you're available yourself, right? So like if I'm treating patients and I start to get to the point where I'm running ragged, then I can't just give as much. I can't have the empathy. You can only take in so much. So that's one of the part of the reasons why I travel a lot is just for that reset. So then it can come back and have the same intensity and the same, you know, drive to help people heal. And if I don't adequately prepare myself in that way, then I'm not going to get to that next level to help people.
Sure. And
and you work at the Haven, so you're kind of in that same position. And, you know, you're working in missions essentially.
Sure. Well, and how do you project yourself has a lot to do with the mental health and the physical health of the people around you.
Yeah.
And if you're constantly negative and, you know, whatever, it's going to project. And if the person you're around isn't strong enough to mentally override that, then they're going to get sucked into the same malaise that you're in.
Yeah.
And, you know, but if you take care of yourself mentally, physically, and spiritually, you're going to be able to minister to people around you, the people that need to hear what you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, I can say a lot of things, but it's different if I do it. I have to back it up.
Yeah. Now, running hasn't always come easy to you, right? Like, you've had injuries, you've had setbacks and health conditions along the way. And
yes.
Yeah. You know, can you talk about some of those?
Some of the health conditions, I had open heart surgery probably about 9 years ago. And that particular day, it was a Saturday, and I didn't have any track to officiate. I didn't have any classes. I was still taking classes at Akron U, and it was a Saturday. So I thought, well, I'll go out and run, get a 5-6 mile run into the easy run. And pulled into the driveway, and there was a pain in like the center of my shoulder. And I thought, wow, that feels weird. There's something wrong with
this. This is after your run?
No, this was, I just got out of the car.
Oh, I'm getting ready for the run.
Yeah, I was getting ready to on that Saturday. I had a Saturday off, if you will. And, but if something wasn't right, and eventually it went away a couple hours later, and I'm supposed to go over to my son's house, and we were going to go to a funeral, unfortunately. And on the way over, it came back. And, you know, the typical thing for a guy is, you know, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. But it came back, and I thought, okay, you know what? Anyways, long story short, I get over to my son's house, and I said, it's not going away. And I said, you know what? I need to go. I said out loud, I need to go to the hospital, and I need to go now. And he says, are you all right? I said, I think I am, but I need to make sure. So here was my mindset. I'm thinking, okay, they'll check me out. They'll put me on a treadmill. I'll get my workout in anyways, and they'll send me home, and I'll probably fall asleep watching Saturday Night Football. So I get on the treadmill, and she's got me down, I guess it's an EKG or something. And, you know, she finally turns it up to a good pace, and, you know, and she goes, okay, you can get off now. And I said, no, I said, I'm good. Why don't you go get a cup of coffee and come back in maybe half hour, 45 minutes. And she goes, no, I've seen what I need to see. You need to get off now. And I'm thinking, okay, the script has just changed. Mm. Anyways, 4 days later, you know, the heart surgery and, you know, replacement, not that, the heart, but the veins. And I'm thinking, okay. So I had that one to deal with. But I remember going through that and telling myself, I don't care how bad the healing process is or the rehab, you just shut up and get it done.
Yeah.
And it's not a matter of getting back to where you were. It's a matter of getting back to where you were and then getting better.
Yeah.
And I told myself, shut up. I don't want to hear any excuses. You just do it. And then I had a mild form of cancer, and very fortunate that with that, we caught it early and dealt with it. And so those are some of the setbacks that I've had health-wise, but you know,
and at any point do these doctors say you should stop running or you should reevaluate your lifestyle kind of thing?
Oh yeah. I had a doctor tell me probably, it was the Akron Marathon. It was probably, 20, maybe 20 some years ago. And I had tendonitis in the knee, and he said, well, you need to stop running.
Wow.
And fortunately I didn't, you know,
I've been
running ever since. And I've done a few ultras and, you know, quite a few marathons, but it's, you know, it's a mindset, you know, and you don't always need to believe what somebody tells you can't do, you know, find out for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you have to use wisdom. I mean, for me, 6-minute miles, those days are long gone unless you're running them. But for me, but that doesn't mean I have to stop running.
Yeah.
And I don't have to stop, you know, trying to get better just because I'm getting more limitations. And you get those limitations as you get older, you know, but you have to deal with them.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to. but what's the end result? You know, you stop moving and your circle gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and all of a sudden you say, man, I don't do anything.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if you would have stopped or continued,
yeah,
whatever you could, you know.
Yeah, and I think that general stubbornness, there's this book, I'm trying to remember the name of the author. It's like Love, Medicine, and Miracles. And basically, it's a medical doctor that was saying some of his patients that age gracefully, what they're probably the most stubborn patients. You know, they're the most bullheaded, stubborn patients, and they're the ones that end up aging gracefully because they have that mindset of consistently, like it was wise for you to listen to your body about the heart, but then on the backside, be tough and push yourself.
Right.
When you adequately had the diagnosis and when it was time to push yourself, you were smart about it. Sure. And I think that's that, you know, used a great word there, wisdom, to be able to understand that. So in my mind, you know, it's not about always being bullheaded and just pushing forward, but it's about like knowing when that's the right thing to do. And, you know, you were just recently dealing with a knee injury, so you weren't planning on running a 50 miler. Now that we got the knee better,
right,
then now you're like, okay, well, maybe I can do a 50 miler. Let's do it. Like, right. So it's like, now's the time to kind of, you know, rise to that challenge, but not just for the sake of doing it when you weren't adequately prepared or your body wasn't ready.
And I think a lot of times as you get older, people miss opportunities, and, you know, you get to a certain age and you're not thinking about a 20 year window down the road.
Yeah.
30 year, you know, you don't have so many chances at the plate. And, you know, you don't want to miss those opportunities because you got talked out of it by somebody else.
Yeah. So what would you say, you know, when you look back on your running through all those years, what would you say was one of your most favorite events or favorite, you know, periods of running?
I think trying to go from one distance, trying to get into the marathon, to be able to complete that was good. And I remember a good friend of mine who was an inspiration to me as far as running marathons. He said, once you cross that line, you'll never look at struggles or problems the same way again. He said, something happens. And of course, I didn't understand what he meant until I crossed that line for the finish, mm-hmm, for the first time. And it was just like, now I understand.
Yeah.
You know, wait a minute. I did something that I thought I could never do. Wait a minute. I just did it. So down the road. So a lot of times when something comes up, I won't say, well, you can't do that. I'll tell myself, why can't you?
Yeah.
And that changes your whole mindset, your whole perspective and how you approach it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember I listened to this interview from the lady that started Black Girls Run, the organization in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran with her a couple of times when I was down there for grad school, and she, you know, basically ran a marathon for the first time. And then she was like, the whole time leading up, she was like, I can't do this. I'm not a runner. I can't do this. I'm not a runner. And then she did it. And she's like, what else have I been holding myself back on?
Right. Exactly.
It's like, what, that's the value, because none of us are going to be the fastest person in the world. That's not the point of running. The point of running is to teach you that you can challenge yourself more than you think. You can do more than you think. And yeah, then the brain is very goal oriented. You know, like if you start to, you know, achieve certain goals with running, then it'll go, okay, so what else do I need to work on? And it starts to better itself at being a father or a, you know, a brother or a better coworker. And your life just kind of has that positive effect in all arenas.
Yeah, because I think running teaches you to, you have to deal with the difficult times, because most of the time you're running, it's probably like, wow, I just feel so good.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time you're going to, especially if you get into the longer distances, and you know this, especially at your pace, you're going to enter into the pain cave,
yeah,
or the discomfort zone. Well, if that happens, our natural tendency is to, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. And that's where you mentally have to continue and say, you know, I'm going to work through this because I put too much time in it to just let it go. And then once you do, like you were saying earlier, wow, what else can I do?
Yeah. So what, so you got any lead up races for before the one in Labor Day?
Yeah, I'll probably do the, Akron Marathon Trail coming up. I think it's in July.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing probably other than that. Cause that's a tough course. I mean, especially if you do the half or the full, you know, but I'll probably just do the 10K and trying to build up slowly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Now, Would you have any, you know, suggestions or insights for people kind of looking to age gracefully with running, and any tips that you learned along the way that you'd like to kind of dispel upon people?
Well, you know, exercise, movement, and whether it's running or something else, get moving. Move or die.
Yeah.
I mean, really. And so I would suggest, yeah, running. If you can't run, we'll start walking. Go out and walk. I do a class down at the Haven for the resident men on health and general fitness and things like that. And I'll tell them there's four things you could do to improve your health. I think everybody could. Get more sleep, drink more fluids, walk more, and journal every day what you're grateful for.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
And, you know, and I've read, you know, reports where people would journal every day what they were grateful for. And after 21 days, the anxiety and depression in the group noticeably dropped. And after 42 days, they started looking at the world in a positive outlook as opposed to the negative one that they were doing before.
Yeah.
But it was just focusing on what you have to be grateful for. And so for me, for example, okay, I can't run 6-minute miles anymore, but I can still run. Be grateful for the health that you have.
Yeah.
You know, but protect it, you know, protect it. And, you know, you have to put some effort into it. It's not going to come easy, but look at what's the alternative.
Well, that's just that if you realize that if you actually are grateful for even the joy of effort, you know, as Joe Vijo would say, even just having the joy of effort, the ability to lace up your shoes and go for it, the ability to challenge yourself, if you're genuinely grateful for that, then you really begin to accept where you're at. And you're not, because everybody's always like, oh, I wish I was faster, and oh, I wish I was, you know, 10 pounds lighter, and oh, I wish this, I wish that. And the wish list just keeps going. Like, all of a sudden, when you have that mindset of genuinely being grateful, that wish list just goes away, and you're actually just thankful for where you're at, because it could literally always be worse.
Well, how many people would change or trade for the lives that you live or I live? Yeah. And most of us in this country would trade with us just like that.
Yeah.
So we do. We have so much to be grateful for. You know, if we have the choice that we can go out running or go out walking or whatever, how many people would love to have that choice?
Right.
You know, so.
Just the freedom to do it.
And it makes a difference on how you think. Huge difference.
Yeah. So tell us about what you do at the Haven.
Well, I have Central Supply. I'm Central Supply Coordinator and Transportation Manager, and I make sure that the vehicles are scheduled to the people that need them to go out and pick up clients and residents and just numerous other things, and make sure they're mechanically running properly. And then Central Supply, I'm over working with people on separating all the items that come in, the food donations that mm-hmm. we get. We have to record it, weigh it, and inventory it, and then get it out to other parts of the community or the Haven of Rest on site. What we don't use on site, then we get out to other areas of the community.
Yeah.
So, and I also do a class with the resident men on health and fitness, and what I try to do there is just challenge their way of thinking. Some of the lies that we believed, well, you can't do that.
And these are all homeless men, correct?
Right. But they've come in and they're on the resident program. And
so what does that mean?
Well, that means that they want to make a change in their lives. Okay. So they're put on a program to where they have a responsibility to do certain jobs at a certain time, a certain way. They have classes that they're required to go to. And we try to prepare them for when they leave the mission to get a job.
Yeah,
we don't find them a job, but we try to put them in a position where they can compete for a job. And we'll do mock interviews with them and things like that. Actually send them out to businesses, and they will do like trial runs. So when they go out, they feel more confident in doing the interview. Work with them on a budget. You know, if you're homeless and, you know, you haven't had any steady income, and then all of a sudden somebody offers you a $10 an hour job, you think, well, 40 hours a week, that's $400. Wow, I can live great on $400.
Yeah.
Until you start saying, well, you know, you got to take out some for rent, you have to take out some for food, for clothing, and all of a sudden that $400 is not going to get it done. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to present a way of thinking and show them reality to maybe what they've avoided for a long time, which actually brought them down to Haven. But the Haven, one of the things that we do differently than other agencies that are kind of in the same arena is that we give them the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And if they apply that to their lives, that's what's going to change them. Not clothes, not three meals a day, not a place to sleep, because you can get that in prison.
Yeah.
But it's the gospel that's going to change them. So it's a great place to work. I don't really like to look at it at work as work, because I think every day I have an opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we could walk away saying that even 5 days a week, what a better world this would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah, and it's awesome that you're giving them, like, health tips, too, you know, just to kind of expand their vision of, like, thinking about their bodies in a different way, yeah. in a positive way, rather than the abuse they might be used to.
Yeah, it's difficult. You know, it's not like they're excited about having to lose weight or exercise or move, you know. But some of them I've been able to convince that it's going to help you. And once they start, wow, this does work. Yeah. I do feel better. Gosh, I'm not out of breath when I walked up a flight of steps, you know. And it's not just, you know, it's not just the guys at the Haven of Rest. I think it's general society when you get past a certain age that you just never. Society said, well, you take it easy. You know, at your age, you know, you've got to, you have to use wisdom, but, you know, you don't have to completely stop.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference there. But, you know, working with the guys, you love it when you see somebody gets it and they say, hey, you know what? I've been doing this and it works. Thank you. You know.
Take us, switch directions a little bit. Take us back to when you had the heart surgery. The process of getting back into activity and what the doctors were saying and suggesting. And
well, one of the things was I was driving a doctor surgeon crazy. I mean, I wanted him to let me go the next day. You know, you got to stay down there. You have to be able to do a flight of steps and you have to be able to do this. And I think, well, that's not going to be any problem. Because I was going home as soon as possible. So they had me on some things, you know, the flight of steps, you know, I did the flight of steps and I said, you want me to go to the next one? I said, I'm good. In fact, after the surgery, the next morning, the nurse comes in and I'm laying on my side and I'm all wired up with stuff. I don't know. It was crazy. She said, are you ready to get up and walk? And I opened my eyes, looked at her and I said, I'm ready to get up and run a marathon. And she just kind of looked at me. I said, okay, we'll start off with walking. But that was the mindset. We're going to get back to this. You know,
yeah.
We're going to move. And in fact, when they took all the drainage tubes out of me and I could move around freely without this standing IV thing or on wheels, I thought, well, okay, I'm going to go after breakfast. I'm going to go down to the family friends lounge and get a coffee down there and make some new friends. Well, I go through these double doors and all of a sudden I hear these alarms going off. I'm like, gee, what's going on? And the nurse comes flying through. You have to come back here. You can't leave. Why not? But I mean, I was going to get moving.
I was going to get moving.
Oh no, you have to stay here. We have to be able to get to you. I said, okay, all right. But after the surgery, you know, you're in there and the doctor next 2 days later, I heard the doctor talking to another patient. He says, no, you're going to get up and you're going to get up now. And he was telling me later on, he says, a lot of people, they don't want to really rehab. They don't necessarily want to get better. They just give them another pill.
Yeah.
You know, and this lady, you know, he almost forced her to get up because it was just easier to lay down. Yeah, it is. But look at the end results, you know. So, but my thing was, you know, you can walk so far and I would do every day and I would do a little bit more the next day, but I always made out a plan of things that I was going to do the next day. Nothing exciting, but maybe take a shower on Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, pay this bill on Thursday. Da, da, da. Always had something ahead to look forward to, even though I was limited to what I could do at the time, because the goal was to get back to where I was and then get better after that.
Yeah. So now when did you actually formally start running?
After the heart surgery? Probably. Yeah. I think I did probably Funny story. I was working at Akron U on their track clinics, and I was doing the long jump. And I had just gotten, I think I'd been out of heart surgery probably two months. And so the high jump pit was set up. Okay. I get a running start and do a backflip over it, landed in the pit. And then I thought, idiot, you just had open heart surgery, you know, 4 months ago. You probably shouldn't be doing this. But I got back to running. I think I did a 10K, and I think I did probably the July after the surgery, I did a half marathon trail up in Michigan.
Yeah. So what was that, 6 months later or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think the mindset of always having something that you're going to do the next day, just that planning, that forward thinking. We were earlier in our conversation, we were talking about the Man's Meaning for Life, the Viktor Frankl book.
Yeah.
And that's one of the key. So that's basically, he was a Auschwitz and Holocaust survivor, and he's writing about his experiences, and he's essentially talking about some of the people that made it through camp, had the mindset, a lot of the ones that did better with everything had the mindset of there was something that they needed to do later in their life. Like they needed to see their son, or they needed to be back for their wife, or they needed to finish their book. Like there was a lot of doctors and scientists that he was in the camps with, and they were all like, I got to finish my book, I got to finish my research. And so that next mindset of I still have a task to do kept them really alive.
Exactly.
You know, instead of being like, you know, he tells a story of like, the people that didn't have this mindset, they would want to steal things, and they would want to, like, because they were starving, obviously. And he's like, but if you had that mindset, you were just willing to do whatever it took and suffer whatever it took to just get through that. Because, you know, you knew if you stole something, the whole camp was going to suffer. So it's like, you just needed to just like get through it. And such an interesting mindset, but having that next thing to look forward to, which is the value of like races, signing up for your next race, and your mind just prepares for the next thing.
And then you have to train for that race.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So as we're kind of rounding third on the episode here, do you have any final little tips to give, you know, anybody looking to age gracefully as they run and well, run well into their 70s? I was just talking to Western States guy the other day, and he was saying that, you know, with this last Western States or this one coming up, there was 3 70-year-olds in it, which is pretty shocking for that level. Be able to do 100 milers in your 70s, and here you are talking about 50 miler in your 76, and it's pretty phenomenal. But it's like, this is definitely becoming more of a thing, and so that's definitely why I wanted to have this interview.
Well, and I think that's, you know, the lies that we believe. Well, now at your age, well, I don't want to hear at my age. Give me a solution or something I can do to try to eliminate this problem or lessen it or whatever.
Yeah.
Don't just roll over and say, well, because, you know, man, your age now.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't have to accept that. Know your limitations, yes, but then you can still try to move forward.
Yeah.
And whatever type of movement you do is going to be better than just sitting there.
Yeah.
Because what, you know, you use it or lose it. And as you get older, it's easier not to use it.
Yeah. So maybe it's not even just a matter of like quantifying your successes or failures based on what you do with movement, but more thinking about it like, just get moving, you know, just be active, just challenge yourself.
Yeah. Go out and walk 10, 15 minutes a day.
Yeah.
And then see how you feel at the end of 2 weeks.
Yeah. You're going to feel better. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, George, for coming on the episode. This was great to have you on, and, you know, wish you the best for your summer running and upcoming races.
All right. Thank you. It was good being here.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Dr. Leo here. Be sure to check out my new book, Faster Without Fail, Your Guide to Overcoming Injuries and Running Faster Than Ever. It is now available on Amazon. You could read reviews, on the Amazon. You can check out what other people have said about it. But basically, if you want to revolutionize your running form and better understand how to stay injury-free within the sport, this is your guide. Feel free to reach out and let us know what you think of the book. I would love to hear your feedback. But again, please check it out on Amazon. Faster Without Fail. Appreciate it. Dr. Leo here. If you want to catch me in another setting, be sure to check out my YouTube page, Running Rehab, where you will find exercises on how to stay healthy with running, how to improve your running form, and a bunch of other tips and tricks on how to get over common injuries. So again, Running Rehab,